The same night that I had what I'm calling the attack of the kidney stones, I think that should be the name of a movie. About 2:30 in the morning, I had a sick call. The emergency line rang and we're told that someone was dying. And it happens sometimes that sick call at night, you rush there and actually the person is okay. Families panic. And it's totally understandable that they want the person to be anointed before. So I completely get it. But I'm also a human being and I'm weak. And in my pain that night, when I got the sick call, I said, "She better be dying." When I said this, I'm thinking, what are you doing? In any case. When I reached the hospital, the nurses were barely keeping Margaret alive. They were pumping oxygen manually into her to keep her alive. And when I went there, she was almost at her last breath. I gave her the sacraments. I prayed with her. And folks, I have been at the deathbed of numerous people. And among all the other work that I do in my ministry, there is something strangely blessed and beautiful standing next to somebody who's dying and very deliberately and consciously getting the family together and entrusting this person who's dying into God's hands. There's nothing like it. We prayed together, and about half an hour after, maybe a little later after I had left, Margaret died. Her funeral was held last Tuesday here. And I came to know about her that she had 4 kids, and she buried 3 of them before she died. And her husband. She was 100 years old. And I said, how can a person who has faced such tragedies in her life, how is it possible to live for 100 years? I said, she must be a very strong woman. None of her family members that attended the funeral was Catholic. And yet, not one of them left the church that day in despair and hopelessness. They were very sad. There was intense grief. You could tell by their tears. Some of them met me outside and just thanked me because they said, now we are in peace. I've been a priest 19 years, and there are moments in my life when I just have to thank God, like from the depth of my being, for God being who God is. And one of those moments is death, a funeral. Because I'm thinking, if God had not intervened in our lives, if Jesus is not who Jesus is for us right now, can you imagine that at every funeral we would leave wherever we gather, knowing that we'll never meet this person again? And so gospels like we have today, where Jesus says to Martha, do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of Man? And Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And thanks to our faith in Jesus Christ, we never have to be alone when we die or be hopeless when we face death. Yesterday I went to hospice to give the last sacraments to another man. I've told you how I hate this, but this man was alone. Nobody by his deathbed, nobody. But Jesus was there, and Mary. See how beautiful our faith is? See what wonders what Christ has done for us in his death and resurrection? Folks, today, even though the gospel reading is about Martha and Mary and Lazarus, what I want to do is talk about the gospels of the last 3 weeks, because the story of the Samaritan woman, the story of the blind man in the gospels last week was healed, and the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they have some things in common. And I want to draw some practical implications from these three stories for ourselves. The first thing that I want to talk about these three stories is the fact that in each of these stories, the main characters of the story, the Samaritan woman, the blind man, and in this case, Mary and Martha, they come to recognize Jesus for who he is very gradually. For example, the Samaritan woman, she first says, "Sir." First she calls Jesus just a man. Then she says to him that you're a prophet. And finally she comes to recognize Jesus as Messiah. The blind man too says, "Sir, I think you're a prophet." And then finally he comes to recognize that Jesus is Messiah. In today's gospel reading, Jesus asks Martha, "Do you believe?" Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Gradually, this happens. The moment that they said, "Yes, Lord, I believe," the moment they said that, that is the precise moment of their salvation. That is the moment when they have come to recognize the one who can save them. And that life, that moment, is a life-transforming moment. It was their experience of salvation. They experienced hope, they experienced love and life, as God lifted them from their despair and showed them the way. My dear friends, we are here at this Eucharist, and Jesus is with us in word and in the sacrament. And I guess the question that is being posed to us is the same question that was posed to the Samaritan woman, the blind man, and Mary and Martha. Here's the question: do you believe? Jesus is real in our midst. Do you believe? So I think today, at this Eucharist, this is our moment to make our confession. Not that we have not done in the past, not that we are not baptized, not that we are not Christians. No, that's not what I mean. But a renewed confession of who Jesus is for us. So when you come today to receive communion, you'll say the body of Christ, and you will say amen, and amen means, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Say that as an act of confession. "Yes, Lord, I believe." And in one sense, That is the precise moment of our own salvation. This is our chance to experience love and hope and life. Let us allow Jesus to save us. The second common theme in these stories is that there are challenges that these characters face on their way to salvation. Every one of them faces a challenge. The Samaritan woman had to face her past. Jesus said, "Call your husband." And she says, "I have no husband." She had five. She had to face her past. She had to overcome her insecurities, her sinful life, her pretensions, and her self-sufficiency before she came to confess Christ. She had to overcome all those. In other words, the obstacles in her life came from within her. The blind man in last Sunday's gospel, his obstacles came from outside. The Pharisees grilled him numerous times about the healing. He was insulted, they called him names, and he was even thrown out of the synagogue because he defended Jesus and the miracle. But the greatest obstacle is faced by Mary and Martha. Death. When death comes, we can do nothing. We are the weakest and the most defenseless when it's time for us to die. There's nothing we can do. So here is what I think the three Gospels are telling us. Neither our inner demons, like the Samaritan woman, nor outside opposition, like the blind man, not even death, can come between Jesus and us. Nothing. If we wish and if we believe, nothing can come between Jesus and us. Nothing. Jesus is presented in these Gospels as the hope of the entire human race. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our healing. Jesus is our reconciliation. Jesus is our life. Jesus is our resurrection. I think Jesus eliminated the most hopeless word in the dictionary, death. It's gone forever. Forever. Nothing can separate us. No obstacles. Inside, outside, death can keep us away from God. The third common theme is the interaction between Jesus and the characters in these stories. So what does Jesus offer to the Samaritan woman? He offered her living water, new life, right? For the blind man, Jesus offered healing. At the tomb, Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Jesus weeps, he moans. There are tears flowing down his cheeks. Jesus wept. See, my dear friends, I think Jesus weeping at the tomb of Lazarus is the entire incarnation story. That one action, that one interaction that Jesus had, that describes the entire story of the incarnation. Each one of us, like the Samaritan woman, like the blind man, like Martha, each one of us has a story, right? If we look at the story of our lives, some of it is good, some of it is sad, some of it is sinful, some of it is holy, some of it is tragic, some of it is heroic, some of it is shameful, some of it we are very proud of it. Jesus embraces it all. Everything. Jesus does not just want the good parts of us. Jesus takes it all. And Jesus embraces it. And Jesus offers our life healing. Jesus offers us living water. Jesus offers us his tears. Jesus offers us resurrection. The cross, that's the tears of God. Jesus did not just weep at the tomb, but the cross, that's the tears of God. Those are the tears of God for our sins and our selfishness and for our death. And once Jesus nails our sins and our death on the cross, once God has wept through Jesus, now we have life. Now we have hope. Now we have healing. Now we have living water. Today, as we celebrate this Eucharist, let there be an interaction between God and you. Maybe God weeps when God stands next to you, either in compassion or and God's love for us. Maybe God offers us healing. Maybe God offers us his word. God offers us presence. God is offering something to us today. If nothing else, in communion, God is giving us God's presence. Take it all in. When you leave from here, you should feel like Mary and Martha. You should feel that God has set us free. So, may this Eucharist be very holy for us. May this Eucharist be the most deep experience of God that we will have today, as Jesus comes to us in bread and wine. May we allow God in Jesus to save us. The people of God said, Amen.